Yes, today is Missionary Sunday for us, so we're going to do things a little different. We've invited three of our missionaries who, fortunately for us, are local, who are going to be able to share what they're doing out on the field, a little bit about themselves, and also challenge all of us, because all of us are missionaries in a way, in a sense, even if it's our home. You know, some of us have unsaved family members or neighborhoods or our workplaces or wherever we're at every day. We're in a mission field. We're in a battle every day. And like Jake had mentioned before, the evil one does not want us to succeed. So we are prepared. We need to be prepared. And we're just going to be encouraged today. We have, like I said, three missionaries to join us. Real quick, the CBC budget, about 13% of the budget goes towards missions. So every time you guys give, whether you're giving in person, you're giving online, figure about 12 to 13, 14% of that money is going to support these missionaries that we support out in the field. There are 18 different organizations that we support on every continent in the world. And it's great that we can be a part of God's extended body and his hand and his work and what he's doing out in the field. We are having a luncheon today afterwards, okay? And we invite everybody to stay. Children, young adults, families, please stick around. We have Stonefire food being catered in or brought in. We have McConnell's has donated some ice cream. So Bob Dupar is going to regress again. We have heard Bob share many times that his first job was working at Baskin-Robbins serving ice cream. So Bob's going to serve you ice cream today and brownies. So, yeah, we just got some exciting things going on. Please stick around and join us. I want to run through real quick who our missionaries are and where they're at. This is the Beck family. They are with Actions International, and they are overseas in Cambodia. Next, we have the Bradley family, who are with Cadence, who is also the same organization that Nate is with, and they are overseas in Thailand. And Paul goes back and forth. There's Nate and Louise Johnson, again, with Cadence. Nate's been all over the world. He can tell you some great stories. Mike and Renu Sunker are in South Africa. And real quick, and I don't want to take a lot of time, unfortunately, the Lord called Mike home this year. So his son AJ and Sarah have stepped into the ministry. It's in South Africa. This shirt I'm wearing is from one of the trips that I made there, and I always used to challenge the kids, if you could tell me what animal this is, it's on my shirt, I'll give you a prize. And, you know, none of them could ever figure it out. And Cyril, it's amazing how the connection is with what this animal is and the shafar and so forth. And we'll just keep going. I'll be up here all day. Dwayne and Lori Delser, who are actually in Bolivia, they're in South America, they're overseas. Kyle and Emily Kurth, who, long story, but anyways, they are with on a campus at University of Wisconsin because of an illness that she contracted. I can't even pronounce the disease. They were overseas. They got called back. It's been a rocky road for them. The Clinton family, Matt and Alicia, I believe is how you say it, are here all the time. He's with a Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Phil and Cheryl Kingsley are over in Ireland. Francis is usually here. Lou and Faye Warkentine, again, the Lord called Lou home this year. So the Warkentines, one of their sons is actually in South America, and he has continued to carry on what they have started. So some exciting things. Hands of Hope, Glenn and Patty Miller, in Africa, in different parts of Africa right now, Zimbabwe. Lois Dodds, who does a ministry for missionaries who need, when they come out in the field and they come back and they're burnt out and all the things that they have to deal with. And Dean and Christina Dilger, who are here today, who are going to be sharing with us, who are from the Central Coast. My home, Cyril Gordon, he's got some amazing stories. He's going to be sharing with us today. If you guys don't, you gotta read his whatever that thing's called, blurb website thing. Yeah, his work that he does at Venice Beach, it's crazy. Joe and Lori Pent, who are down in Lama, down in Costa Rica. Pastor Ricardo, many of us have had the pleasure of visiting Pastor Ricardo down in Ensenada, Mexico. David Diner, who, because of security purposes, where the guys are that work for him, we can't tell you much about them other than they are in formerly Eastern European Russian bloc country type things, okay? Gary and Karen Griffin, who are here with us today also, and Steve and Catherine Moore, who are with Cliff International as the Bible translators, and I believe that is it. Thank you. So that just gives you a quick overview of the missionaries that we support around the world. You guys have a part in their lives every day. We just want to continue to encourage you to pray for them. We thank you again for the support that you continue to show for them. And we are going to, again, celebrate three families today, let them share some stories, share some things about what's going on in their lives. And again, the luncheon afterwards, did I mention we had Stonefire Grill food? And we have McConnell's ice cream and Bapupar? Yes. Okay, so let me pray and we'll get started. Father God, thank you again for this beautiful day, this beautiful morning you've given us. Thank you again that each and every one of us has a mission field in it that we face every day. And we thank you that you are with us, that you give us the necessary tools, the instruments, the abilities to spread your word, to be your hands and feet in our world. And Father, again, we thank you for this day, this opportunity to celebrate, and we just look forward to what the three missionary families have to share with us today. We are excited. We just thank you again for who you are in our lives, and give this day to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And with that said, Dean, you're up. Give Dean a hand.
Good morning, everyone. I am not Scott. I'm younger and maybe more handsome. Definitely shorter, so I'm going to move the mic stand out of the way, if you don't mind. Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. Am I needing to move for the camera? Okay. We do some live streaming too, and it's, I'll do this for the camera. I'm 5'4", been 5'4 since I was 13 years old, and the doctor says, you'll grow, and then it's like, it ain't happening. But it is a pleasure to be with you. We were here March 8th, 2020. I told you all it was the day before my wife and I's very first anniversary. We were married on March 9th, 2019. I should know that. And so it's good to see that nothing has changed. It's been business as usual, and nothing has disrupted the ministry or the way we do things in the last year and a half. And I'll thank you those who gave me the pity laugh. Yeah, COVID hasn't disrupted anything. I apologize for the morbid COVID jokes. But in all seriousness, thank you for giving me a few minutes of your time. It really is a pleasure to be here. It's just humbling to see all the ministries, all the different missionary couples that your church supports. And as a missionary supported by a church, we say, yeah, Community Bible Church is one of our supporting churches. But we really don't know much about you or who else your church supports. So that's awesome to see all the different groups and the folks who are here today who are also part of that. Their ministries are blessed by the ministry that you do here. But I will start off by apologizing, by saying that if you can't tell, I'm a little nervous today. And that's because I'm really not used to speaking to congregations this big. The congregations that we minister in are tiny by comparison. I pastor two churches, and cumulatively we have maybe 20 people there on a good day between two church services and two different locations. So it really is a pleasure to be here, but a new experience for me to talk to so many people, a couple dozen people here looking at me, and folks online. So thanks for having us. So just to begin, I just want to let you know that my name's Dean Dilger. My wife, Christiana, is over there. And we are the Central Coast Area Missionaries Within Faith, which is the oldest missionary organization in the United States. Started off as the American Sunday School Union over 200 years ago, turned into the American Missionary Fellowship, and since 2008 it's been In Faith. All that to say that we're the Central Coast Missionaries, which means Ventura is actually part of our mission field. So y'all are part of a Central Coast mission field, part of the area that I'm called to minister to. So that's awesome that you guys support us as missionaries, sent out ones, right? But we're still in this area. And so as locals to my mission field, I want to ask you and see if maybe you know or have even heard of any of the areas that we minister to, any of the communities that we minister to. Now, if I say, you know, Pismo Beach, Santa Barbara, you probably know what I'm talking about. But just show of hands, this will be interactive. And folks online, you can do the like button or whatever. Who here has heard of Rinconada, the community of Rinconada? Show of hands. No one. Okay. What about Park Hill? Park Hill? Park Field, perhaps? No? Okay, a couple heard of Park Field, the earthquake capital of the world. What about Casmalia? Okay, a few from Casmalia. It's where the rockets go up and where the toxic waste goes in the ground. Okay, a little southerly, Guadalupe? Okay, a couple from Guadalupe? Okay, or have heard of Guadalupe? How about California Valley? Yeah, that's where we're off to after this. We have to go and minister and pastor the church in California Valley. Baywood Park, probably a few of you, maybe? Baywood Park. How about Lebec? A little closer. Lebec, and then Garden City Acres is going to be your closest one. All right. So a few of you have heard of some of the places that we minister to, but I don't think anyone's hand, you know, was shot up for everything. But what I want to say to you is that these communities, these people, these neighbors of ours, most of you didn't even know they existed a few seconds ago. And yet they're our neighbors. And so when I think about the biblical mandate of missionaries, what we're called to do, serving, what comes to my mind in the Great Commission is not the Great Commission from the Gospels, but the Great Commission from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus says this. He says, "You shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth, even to the ends of the earth." But notice where he starts. He didn't say, go to the furthest parts of the earth and then work your way back. He says, no, the places where you're already ministering, where you're already living, right? Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria. You have the Roman Empire, of course, by extension, right? And then we can even look at church history and some apostolic traditions and see the apostles worked their way out of the Roman Empire eventually, and of course, all over the world. Now we have overseas missionaries that are going to places like Africa and Ecuador and Thailand and doing these amazing things. And so our calling, the Dilger's calling, is much the same way. We reach local. That's the motto of InFaith, so I'll use that term, reach local. We reach local. We minister to these forgotten communities, these communities that people in big places like Ventura, Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo don't even know exist. These areas, in essence, you know, places like California Valley, a few hands are raised there, have really become somewhat of a frontier missions field, too. Places like Casmalia, same thing. There's really a lot of darkness, and they're frontier missions fields where people who speak English, they look just like you or me, they spend way too much time on their cell phones, but yet they don't know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they certainly are not driving hundreds of miles into town to attend a church like this one. We have great churches locally. We get to participate with and do a lot of things with bigger churches like this, but these communities, they certainly aren't going in. A lot of them don't have cars. We have churches that don't have running water, by the way. That's an interesting story. I can tell you about that at lunch maybe, where I'm ministering there, I'm preaching there. It's my first time in this church, and I watch people get up and leave, and I was like, what I'm ministering about isn't that controversial. Then I find out they're going to the outhouse out back because there's no running water in the church, and there's no running water in the outhouse, but it's an old-timey outhouse. So it's an interesting thing. I could speak more about that church if you want later. If the Lord is calling you to minister in far-off places like some of the places we saw overseas on the screen just a few minutes ago, then yes, of course, pack your bags and go. Be obedient to the Lord's calling and go to those far-off places. One of our best friends, one of Christiana's bridesmaids in our wedding, has been in Ecuador for 2 years now. And she's ministering at the school, the Antioch Christian Academy, and she's ministering to a lot of kids who have been trafficked and have been, you know, abused and had bad things happen to them and things like that. We have another friend couple that we just had breakfast with who are raising support right now with Wycliffe to go and take the gospel to Thailand, right? Work on translation projects there and that sort of thing. And so, yes, both are totally worthy, totally God-commissioned ministries that require great faith, great trust in the Lord to step out in faith. Go to these new nations, minister with people, live with people who don't speak your language. And all these ministries, all these missionaries have seen God work in powerful ways to change people's lives for the kingdom. But please, I think the point of today is don't think that you have to buy a plane ticket or learn a crazy foreign language to be a witness for truth. The ministry that you're called to do can start at home. People say, well, I'm not called. And of course, the Great Commission shows that we are all called. We're all called to be missionaries. For a history lesson, since we have a lot of like well-traveled, well-read people around here, it looks like, I assume you've all heard of Dr. Mordecai Fowler Ham. Some people have. Dr. Mordecai Fowler Ham. Hopefully this is not like a super, everyone knows about this, and Pastor Bob just preached on this guy the other day, but he's an evangelist born in 1877. He preached the gospel in Charlotte, North Carolina in May 1934. You've never heard of him. I've never heard of him, but he is a pastor. He's an evangelist who went and he said yes to the Lord. He fulfilled the Great Commission. And in 1934, in Charlotte, he led a 15-year-old farm boy to Christ. That 15-year-old boy grew up to be Billy Graham, who preached the gospel to literally hundreds of millions of people. The website says something around 250 million people heard the gospel because of Billy Graham's preaching. He gave the hope of God to millions of people gripped by fear and the terrors of the 20th century, the Cold War and all those different wars and conflicts and fears people had. In our ministry, just last month, I had the privilege of preaching, of being the chapel speaker to 50 campers at the summer camp that we run, 50 teenagers, and four came to know Jesus. And so he says, is it worth it for the four? Yeah, is it worth it for the three? Is it worth it for one person who actually truly came to Christ? Absolutely, 100%. I got to baptize. The highlight of my week, the highlight of my life, maybe my ministry life, is I got to baptize a teenage girl named Jessica in a muddy creek. And her life was changed forever after that. Baptized her in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Another boy named Fox, he's moving from another state out here so he can be close to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. He's stepping out in faith. His parents don't want him to leave rural Nevada, but he knows where he's being called to, and he's saying yes. Just two nights ago, a third girl, she was baptized in the Pacific Ocean. And she says this. She said that the ministry we had at Camp Challenge, that's why I'm bringing this up, said, let her to want to live for Christ rather than living for herself and the world. And I saw it in the text, and I was just like, that's why we do this. And so I don't know where these kids are going to be in 5 years. I don't know what the Lord has planned after their lives. But what I do know is that they would not have come to know Jesus or experienced Jesus the way they did had not been for obedient disciples simply saying yes to God's leading and serving. People just like you saying yes to God's calling in their lives, simply to go and make disciples. For those of you who don't know, one of our ties into this church is Skip, who's around here somewhere, in the very back corner. And he and his wife ministered at our summer camp for decades. And we still hear people talk who have kids now at camp who said that, yeah, Skip and Shirley made us breakfast. And that ministry that there has powerful ramifications now. Now adults are taking their vacation time to serve at camp so their kids can hear someone like me preach in the chapel and go to Bible class with the Lidbecks and so on. As you can see, the ramifications, right, the eternal ramifications of just saying yes to ministry locally. Didn't have to get on a plane or learn a new language. I read a quote from Alistair Begg. He's a fairly famous evangelical preacher, pastor of Parkside Church in Cleveland. He said this earlier this week. He says, the whole church is to take the whole gospel to the whole world, right? And that just sums up the Great Commission, that we're all called to be Christ's witnesses. We're all called to play this part in fulfilling the Great Commission. And so for the Dilgers, we travel to forgotten communities of the Central Coast. We serve as this light for Christ to the darkness of the world. We minister to the hurting and lost. We fellowship with brothers and sisters who have told us that they feel forgotten and abandoned by the larger churches in town. And we know that's not true because you churches raise up missionaries to send out to places like that, but that's sometimes how they feel. And so actually going out there and preaching a sermon to them, praying with them, and having a meal with them can mean the world to them. And so we do it all for the Lord, of course, without having to get on a plane or learn a new language, right? Just you guys keep donating to put gas in our tank. And so that's something that you can do today. You can start today, right? We heard about small groups are starting back up. Joining a ministry at this church, you can do that right today. You can intentionally invite a friend over to coffee, right? You can friend, coworker, someone. You can say, let's have coffee. Let's watch a movie together. And you can intentionally share your relationship with Jesus. Let's talk about the gospel. The best man at my wedding, who I met him when I was 4 years old, and we grew up together. He was 22 years old before he thought that Easter was Jesus' birthday. And I had a seminary education. I realized I had never told my friend about Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so they're out there. And so those organic Esther moments, right, that we don't plan for, but God puts you there for such a time as this, those times when God puts you in the path of a random stranger to be his hands and feet, to preach his gospel message to someone that he loves and died for. We're all called to be missionaries, even if it starts in your own backyard. So thank you for having me.
Thank you, Dean. I also forgot to mention real quick, you can go to our church website and go into the missionary box, click on there, and you can get all the emails for all the missionaries that we support. And drop them a line. Send them a note. Send them a word of encouragement, and they would love to hear from us. Okay. Next, we have Cyril Gordon. Cyril, come on up. He is on the beaches of Venice. Come, give Cyril a hand. Yeah. I'll just let Cyril share.
Shalom, everyone. Good to be back. Wow, it's like yesterday I was here. It's been an incredible year. It's been just a mind-boggling, incredible year. And this morning I'm gonna give you a window into that to give glory to God. Because when we go out to the enemy's camp at Venice Beach, that's our prayer. Lord, may you be glorified by everything we do today. We got that PowerPoint? I'm going to zip through this, folks. You're going to think I'm on speed, but I'm not. I just got a lot to go through. Every one of these pictures that I'm going to show you has a story. You can get the story if you sign up for our praise report. In the hallway, we'll have a clipboard, and this will put you on the cutting edge of all the action. This will put you in the trenches, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You will get with no fluff. That's my goal. That's what we do. Venice Beach is one of the most visited places in California behind Disneyland. We set up a free Bibles table there with English, Spanish, and Hebrew New Testaments for free. These things cost us $5 each, but it's the whole New Testament, the Psalms, and the Proverbs. And people come to our table all day long to get prayer, to come to the Lord for salvation, whatever they need. We're there, me and our ministry team of volunteers trained to be out there. We calculated that on any given day, 1,500 to 3,500 people will stroll by our table every hour. Folks, where do you get that kind of exposure in California? I don't know where. And they're just strolling. They're not in a rush to get anywhere. It's not like they're going to a ball game or they're going shopping. They are walking up this, go ahead. This is Venice Beach, in case you've never been there. Thousands of people on this walkway, a mile and a half on the beach. Keep going. Again, another picture of the walkway. Go ahead. We're out there for 5 to 7 hours. That means over 10 to 25,000 people are going to walk by our table every day we go out. We've been the only faithful, regular ministry out there for 21 years. I did it with another ministry for 19. Now I'm doing it with a new ministry I'm with called Jewish Outreach International. Go ahead. You know, Venice Beach is the end of the line for a lot of people. A lot of people come to L.A. or a.k.a. Gomorrah. And they try to make it big, and they get beaten up by the enemy and thrown to the curb, and they end up at Venice Beach. Go ahead. A lot of homeless out there these days. Go ahead. The enemy's out there every day with his tarot cards. Go ahead. Marijuana facilities. Go ahead. The Hindu gods are out there every day. Go ahead. The psychics. Go ahead. And then we are there as ambassadors of the Lord Jesus. We take a stand right in the enemy's camp, right in the middle of that walkway, and we hold our ground. And believe me, the enemy comes by all the time to try to intimidate us. We were just out there Thursday, and this guy came to our table. I was showing Pastor Bob a picture of this guy. He had death and murder in his eyes. The two volunteers that I had with me, their legs were shaking. They said, we're going to give this guy to Cyril. You handle it. So he came. He wanted to intimidate us. He had a guy with him with a big machete. He took one of our Bibles and said, I'm going to use this to roll my joints. I said, oh, yeah? I'm going to call on the Lord Jesus. And I did. I took my shofar out. And I called on the Lord. As the Word of God says in Numbers, when the enemy shows up, you blow your shofar and the Lord will remember you and fight your battles. This guy who came to our table to intimidate us, he left. Amen. We get that all the time. We're in a war zone, folks. Go ahead. Me and my fellow Jew who loves Jesus, Arthur Perlis, we blow our shofars. Here I am with the ram's horn. Art's got a big old kudu horn, and he can blow that sucker. Go ahead. We got a great ministry team that comes out there, Jew and Gentile serving God together. A great picture of the body of Christ. Go ahead. Again, my ministry team, and don't forget my dog, Moodles. Go ahead. This is a guy that came by from Iowa. He was homeless, living on the beach for 2 weeks, came by and gave his life to the Lord. Go ahead. Here's an Israeli who stopped by, took a Hebrew New Testament. He's taken a trip up the coast, and he's going to read that New Testament and search for the truth. Another Israeli got a Hebrew New Testament. Folks, where are you going to meet these people? They came to us. They came to us. Go ahead. Here's a Muslim who came by our table. He got the gospel for over an hour. Go ahead. Another Israeli came by. Here I'm showing him the prophecies from the Old Testament about Jesus. He said, I got to go back with this to my rabbi and check this out. Go ahead. Wait. Hang on till I say go. Okay, now go. Here's a local Jew getting the prophecies. Go ahead. Here's a homeless man that came by. He loves the Lord, but he's had a really hard life, and he just needed prayer. And we made his day. You just never know who the Lord's going to bring. We just want to be there for whoever the Lord brings to our table. Go ahead. Here's a guy who's suffering. His name's Mandy, suffering from gender confusion. And he's been suffering with that his whole life. He said, I've had enough. He came by our table, gave his life to the Lord. I said, Mandy, you're going to need some deep healing here. Come back. He came back an hour later. We prayed for him again. So pray for Mandy. He wants healing. He wants to get on the right track. Go ahead. Here's a Mormon who came by our table. The guy ministering to her is a local pastor. Pastors are coming out. They're joining us at the table. She got ministered to for a whole hour. Go ahead. Here's a Palestinian, gave his life to the Lord at our table, named Abed. I've been following up with him. Go ahead. This is a homeless young man who's been sleeping on the beach on his backpack. He gave his life to the Lord. He's overcoming drug addiction. Go ahead. A homeless Jew from Pennsylvania came by, got the gospel, got a New Testament. Go ahead. Again, people, I'm just zipping through this, but there's more to all these pictures. And those of you who get my praise reports, you know, right? Huh? You're getting it. Okay, this is one of my favorite. Little old Jewish grandma came by. She had questions. She wasn't going nowhere till she got answers. You don't see it in the picture, but there's a whole family on the side there saying, come on, mama, let's get out of here. She made them wait. That's right. Go ahead. This just happened 2 weeks ago. This is a Orthodox Jew who's searching. He left Orthodox Judaism. He went into New Age. Now he's looking into Jesus. And he is this close to getting saved. I'm meeting with him on Wednesday with another pastor. Pray for him. His name's Daniel. God's doing something with him. Go ahead. This is a whole team that came down all the way from Bakersfield to join us at Venice, and boy, they had so much fun. They can't wait to come back. It made their day. They don't got that. They don't have Venice at Bakersfield. And they took lots of pictures, believe me. Go ahead. This is one of the local homeless fellows named Catman. He gave his life to the Lord. And go ahead. This is an Orthodox Jew who came by. He got the gospel from one of our volunteers. In fact, this got so heated, a whole crowd of people started gathering around to listen in. So we sowed some seed with this guy. Go ahead. This guy right here is singing. He's the spinning man of Venice Beach. He's been frolicking up and down the walkway, spinning with flowers, I kid you not, for years. And he gave his life to the Lord 6 months ago. Now he's out Venice preaching and praising God. Can you believe it? So praise God for that. Go ahead. Here's some BLM activists who came by. They got the gospel. Go ahead. This is an icon of Venice. And if you guys have been to Venice, you've probably seen this guy, Freddie Perry. Go ahead. This is a huge sculpture that's in the southern part of Venice. We call it the Gateway to Hell. It's got a huge upside-down cross right in the middle. Right where that thing is the flagpole area where people wake up dead all the time. Fights happen all the time. People get beat up, killed, drug addicts, everything is down there. So we always pray against this thing. Go ahead. All kinds of people you meet at Venice. That's not a t-shirt he's got. That's a big tattoo. It's an eccentric Italian, got the gospel. Go ahead. A snowman came by in a fur coat claiming to be Jesus. He got the gospel. Go ahead. And the devil shows up now and then. Got to rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Go ahead. This guy is the warlock of Venice. He's been walking up and down Venice for years. He used to try to curse me all the time. And we keep praying for him. And, well, he started coming to us and getting ministered to. And now, if you can't beat him, join him. Go ahead. Look at his expression. Huh? I don't know what happened to him, but since he came to our table and got ministered to, he hasn't been back at Venice. So I'm hoping he's getting back on track and he's shedding those horns and seeking the Lord. Go ahead. This is the Witch of Venice. She's another one that's been trying to curse us for years. We pray for her, and she disappeared too. Haven't seen her in 3 years. Go ahead. This is one of the cults out there. He's part of the Black Hebrews. He tried to assault me 5 times, and of course I took my shofar and called on the Lord. He couldn't touch me. Came back 3 weeks later without the mask, totally different, and apologized. And he actually thanked us because he had demonic oppression, and we prayed for him, and it left. Yeah, praise God. In fact, I just saw him Thursday, and he came, and now he rides his bike by, and he waves and says hi. I'm hoping he's going to come by and get the gospel one day. Go ahead. The Hare Krishnas, they're there every day. Go ahead. And then I minister in the synagogues. Now, I'm just going to zip through this, folks. I don't have much time left. Go. I'm in the synagogues, in their Torah studies. Go ahead. We're actually studying the New Testament in one of the synagogues. Unbelievable. Go ahead. I'm in their Zoom meetings. Go ahead. I'm meeting one-on-one with Jews. I'm meeting at the synagogue. I'm meeting them outside the synagogue and sharing the gospel. Go ahead. These are the guys I've been hooking up with. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Folks, I met them in a synagogue, and they wanted to know more about Jesus. And I took them outside the synagogue. She went to church with us. For the first time, this Jewish lady in the middle. Go ahead. One of my favorite scriptures out of Matthew. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Amen. Go ahead. Finally, picture of me and my family. My wife, she talked to me this morning. She's like, I want to get out of L.A. I don't like it here. You know, if I told her, honey, we're moving to Ventura, she would be kicking her heels and praising God. I said, look, honey, we got to stay put until the Lord releases us. OK, Okay, I would love to live in Ventura. I'd love to live anywhere but L.A. But that's where the Lord has us. Pray for us. I mean, we live in a neighborhood where we hear gunshots and fireworks every night. It's crazy. But we got to be where the Lord wants us. Amen? I'm going to be at the back table if you have any questions. If God's moving it on your heart to give to this ministry today, you can at the table. I even take credit cards. Just be obedient to the Lord. You can't maybe come to Venice, but we are there. And we're the Lord's ambassadors, and we are your ambassadors. Thank you. God bless you. And Shalom Aleichem.
Lot going on. Wow. And I mentioned too that they will be sticking around. Hopefully, Christine and Dean can stick around too. So you guys can ask them more questions. So you can tell there's a lot going on with what Cyril does. Last we have Nate Johnson. Nate, come on up. I've known Nate a long time. Give Nate a hand. Jake shared a little bit. There's a story, you'll have to ask Nate about it. I'm not going to tell it. You can ask him at lunchtime, where Nate sent a kid home from camp one time. So, yeah. So, anyways, here you go.
There's a lot of things we could say, but I wasn't sure that's where we're going to go. All right. It's great to be home. It's good to be with you. I love coming. Every time I come, Dale's like, are you going to make us all cry? And so that's not my goal today, although it might happen. Who knows? But my wife and I, we serve with Cadence International. My wife and my kids and I, we serve with Cadence International. We've been with Cadence for 21 years now. It all started, I remember the week that Joe and Nancy asked me if I would consider going to Wagon Train and serving then, and, you know, it changed my life. Sitting in different missions weekends like this, that really was my entrance into the idea of missions. And it started with me locally, just in loving the people around me and recognizing that God, you know, calls us to other places. And so this is our family. We, my kids are now 18, 16, 14, and 11. So that's weird. I was thanking Margie. You know, they learned to swim, you know, during one of our home assignments, and that was just amazing. But just in seeing our kids, they've been born around the world because we've served. First, we served in Wiesbaden, Germany for 5 years with military. We serve military families. That's what we do. We work with Cadence International. Cadence's mission is sharing the gospel in our lives with the military community. And so we have done that literally around the world. We started for 5 years, like I said, in Wiesbaden, Germany. We were there for 5 years serving kids whose parents were in the Army. Then we moved to Yokosuka, Japan for 3 years, serving with the Navy and all the families that were living there. And then we moved back to Germany for 5 more years in the K-Town Ramstein area. There's 100,000 Americans that live there, and so all those military families we were serving there. And then we moved to Rota, Spain for 5 years and served there. And then right now we're at Travis Air Force Base. And so, you know, there's a funny piece of that. You know, it feels, we do military ministry. It feels kind of like we're in the military, only I don't get to, I don't have, you know, at 20 years in the military, you get a nice retirement. I don't have that. But also I can leave at any point I want. So it's kind of a fair trade-off. I mean, that's kind of the deal we've made. But we love serving military people, and we love being an extension. I mean, that's what it is. We are an extension of you. You're an extension of us. And as we get to watch back and forth, we see what it looks like as we love Jesus and share the gospel with those that we are around. And so this morning, just to continue kind of the thought, he was sharing a little bit about the mandate that we see both in the Great Commission and then in Acts 1. And right now, as on Friday nights, we have the hospitality house that we run. We have a bunch of airmen that come out to our house on Friday nights. We do dinner together. Then we open scriptures together. Right now, we're in the book of Acts. We're just working our way through the book of Acts. But with that, it's so great to watch what God is doing. And so with that, I just want to share three thoughts just that I had as I've been reading through Acts and just thinking through just some different things that we can do. So there's our family. Let's go to the next slide. Here's some of the folks that we serve. And so if you see that lovely little peak thing, we have an Airman Ministry Center that we are actually contracted. The Air Force actually pays us to come and to run this Airman Ministry Center that's located right by the dorms. And so we have an opportunity to be there. And these are some of the airmen that we serve. My wife has been doing a Bible study up in the top right. You can see that's the Bible study my wife has been with. And they started just as a group doing Be the Bridge. And so just in the midst of that, Louise just wanted to get to know get to know some of these women. And these women are believers, but just in them saying, okay, how... it just started out as this Bible study of just kind of talking, and it led, her curiosity led to just amazing conversations. And my first thought is just as we think about the gospel, what does it look like for you and me to be missionaries wherever God puts us? My first thought is we just got to be a people that are curious, that we take time to ask people questions. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, as all these different people come to the booth, they've got a lot of things that they're wondering about, or they're in this, you know, whatever town they're in. There's the question of, well, here's where I'm at. And for us just to take time to ask them, you know, when Jesus met the woman at the well, it started with some questions. Or when, you know, there's different people, I mean, sometimes they're questions to Jesus, sometimes there's questions from Jesus to the people. But if we look at this, the tall guy in the bottom, that guy's name is Trajan, and Trajan is asking lots of questions. And one of my favorite places to start with is, okay, tell me who you are. Tell me what you're about. What do you believe? Where did you get to that place? And just starting in that place, it's amazing what, when I will shut up and listen, what they will tell me, that then really is the place that I go, oh, that's where we need to start with the gospel conversation. And so, again, doesn't matter whether you're overseas. Doesn't matter whether it's your next-door neighbor. We need to be people that are curious. And so for us, we just get an opportunity to be curious with a whole lot of airmen. And the Peak serves airmen that are eight, you know, they're right out of basic. In fact, some of them are finishing up their second part of their phase two training, and they come to Travis, and they're there. And a couple of months ago, with COVID, everything shut down. And so they were, you know, even going to basic, they're like, all right, welcome to basic. You know, come, we're going to do some stuff, then you're going to go to your barrack, and you're just going to sit there. You're going to sit in your room, and they were all separated. And so they rushed them through basic at, you know, it was a fraction of the time. Then they rushed them back to Travis, and they're like, okay, welcome to Travis. We don't have anything for you to do. You're going to report 2 days a week, and all the rest of the time you're just going to sit in your dorm rooms. And so that's kind of what that looked like for them. And so all of a sudden, they would come down the hallway to the Peak, because, again, we're right across from the mail room. And they'd come in, and we were doing, like, these care bags because, you know, hey, we love you. We care about you. And then, you know, just ask you, hey, how you doing? And just, they just open up because they have been sitting alone in a room for a really, really long time. And it just starts with, hey, who are you? What are you? Tell me about yourself. Next one. So this is just some of the pictures of some of our interns, some of the people that have been in life with us. We live, like I said, up at Travis Air Force Base. We have actually a 5-acre property that is all kinds of work and maintenance. If you ever want to come, you know, just let me know. Right, Joe? With that, we have had a couple of different people, tenants, that have lived on the property with us. And it just, again, not just being curious, but have an opportunity really to show compassion to the people around us. The guy in the, you can't really tell, but the gray shirt in the bottom picture right above Josh in his Dodger uniform, his name is David. Josh misses David all the time. But David came and lived with us because David's wife, he was geo-bachelor, which means that his family lived in one place and he lived somewhere else. And he just was like, hey, I got nowhere to go. Do you know of a room? And we're like, hey, you know what? COVID, come live on the property with us. And so he was renting out a room, and just the opportunities and the discussion points and just being able to be curious, but then in talking to him and really have an opportunity just to be in life together. And it's kind of funny, you know, we're kind of bookend. He, you know, a whole lot of people, we have a lot less. I mean, we still see every week at the peak, we serve a meal to about, on Wednesdays we serve dinner to about 50 airmen that come. We make food at home, we bring it to the peak. We serve dinner and then we do Bible study for those that want to stay. That number drops significantly when we say, it's time to study Bible, and they're like, shoo, and they're gone. But those that are still there, I mean, again, as we talk to them, get opportunities with them, we just have the opportunity to love them, to be compassionate. And the chapel lets me give them a cup of coffee or whatever because, you know, we run this little coffee house. But it starts small, and it's just opportunities to engage. It's to engage with where they're at and just to show compassion. Can I just tell you how much I loved yesterday driving down the road here and seeing the sign out that the food pantry was open? And it just, I loved it because it was, okay, I love that you are taking the opportunity to show compassion, you know, in tangible ways that are needed. And like I said, I mean, there were times we just give out, you know, a little bag of snacks. It wasn't anything significant. But the opportunity that created to have a conversation, and the opportunity that started, that then went, you know, would go and continue. An airman named Miles stopped by, and again, he'd been in his room just bored out of his mind, and so just getting an opportunity to talk with Miles, and so Miles shows up, and he's like, "What is this place? Like, what is this?" And we're like, "Well, you know, it's a space the chapel has. It's an extension of the chapel to you, you know, where we have an opportunity just to care for you, to be, you know, just to be a space that you can know and be known, that we can, you know, our goal is that you would." You know, my goal is that you'd hear the gospel. The chapel's goal is that you'd come and that we'd meet some your spiritual needs, whatever those may be. But in the midst of that, just getting those opportunities to show compassion in some really tangible ways. And then to invite them, for us as a community, then to go out and whether it's homeless ministry or serving in different capacities, that's what we get opportunities to do. Let's go to the next slide. And so the peak, you know, we do all kinds of different things. We have a lot of different opportunities, you know, whether it's, again, working at the coffee shop, or it's out doing events with all these airmen that are, again, at this point, bored out of their mind and really, 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 really hungry for relationship, and to begin to start and to have those relationships, and through that to share the gospel. And so I think that's the third thing I would say is, you know, okay, well, let's be curious, let's be compassionate. The third thing is, what's been real interesting is my daughter, it's really fun to be able, you know, my kids, like I said, they're 18, 14, or 18, 16, 14, 11. It's fun to watch my kids kind of take over, you know, carry the torch in some things. And so Ellie, you can see her on the bottom left, she's with a group of ladies. And she is trying to do peer ministry really in ways that are different for her, and so stretching. And so there's a courageousness that's needed for you and I as we have conversations that move out of who, you know, the world that we're in, our little sphere. We, you know, reach out to people in a place where there's, you know, going out to outhouse and, you know, having that. You know, there's some things that are stretching. And you know, it starts by saying, okay, I'll go to Wagon Trainer. Okay, I'll volunteer. And again, maybe that's selfish. A lot of my decisions I realize now, they started off, you know, where God moves us over time. If you asked me if I would live in multiple countries, I would have, there's no way. Absolutely not. I just didn't ever see that was the track that the Lord would take me to. And yet it started as I was courageous enough to say, okay, I'll do that. Okay, I'll volunteer, you know. You need someone else at Wagon Train? I'll go to Wagon Train. Maybe it'll be fun. And it changes your life as we love people enough to say, okay, let me get past my own fear enough to ask you about your story, to ask you what you believe. And then maybe to take the next step over time and building that bridge through compassion and meeting whatever needs are there that maybe we meet tangibly. Maybe they're just emotional or spiritual that we pray for them. But then at some point, having the courage to actually take that to the next step and to really to move in. And so that's just my challenge for us, is that we would be people that really are curious enough to want to share the gospel, because there is the place in sharing the gospel that it is action and it is word, that we live out the gospel. I mean, we look at the book of Acts. I mean, that's the church was known as they continue to expand. Man, there were some bold speeches, and we need people that are filled with boldness to sit on Venice and go, hey, here's the gospel. And we need people that'll go out and you know, go into whatever town and to speak and to connect. And we need people that will lovingly serve faithfully where you are, both to send others out and to be salt and light in this place. And so that's the joy for us, is to be connected to you. And you be faithful and you serve the Lord locally, because that's all of our call. We all have been called to share the gospel. It's not just, okay, you special people go share the gospel. We share the gospel. We love people. We, you know, practice hospitality, do these different things, that we would eagerly desire the greater gifts and continue to grow in them. So that's my challenge. And it's a joy. I mean, I could tell you all kinds of stories. I mean, I love to tell stories. I mean, if you've been around me, you know. At the same time, it's man, it is so encouraging to see faithfulness. It's encouraging to see, just even to see some young people and people I have not seen here before, to see how God is continuing to use this community to change the atmosphere even locally. So just want to say thanks. It's great to be with you.
Thank you, Nate. Let's go ahead and invite the worship team up as we close. Again, we are having a luncheon afterwards. We invite everybody to stay. We'd love to just be able to break some bread, hear some more stories from the three speakers that we've had today. And again, this is just a little, once we do this thing annually, obviously we didn't get a chance to do it last year because of the virus and so forth. This is something we do every year. So August of next year, we'll be doing it again. Maybe we'll have three more of our different missionaries who will be able to join us and whatever. But anyways, this is who we are. This is our DNA. This is Community Bible Church. We are called to be missionaries in our lives every day. And let me go ahead and pray for us. And when, like I said, when we're done, please join us on the patio.